Dr. Amalia Gonyas-Melka, welcome to Womanity, Woman in Unity, the show that celebrates prominent and ordinary African women's milestone achievements in their struggles for liberation, self-emancipation, human rights, democracy, racism, socioeconomic class division, and gender-based violence. Joining us in studio today is Ms. Nonzwakazi Kekete, who is the editor of MOVE, a weekly South African English magazine with a circulation of almost 85,000 and readership of 2.4 million people, making it South Africa's biggest women's weekly magazine. On the academic side, Nonzwakazi holds a degree in journalism from the University of Johannesburg, and she recently acquired a media management certificate accredited by the University of the Witwatersrand to further hone her specialization in media. Welcome to the show.
Thank you very much for having me. It's a pleasure to be here.
We're so glad that you could make it and to participate in this segment where we're dealing with women in the media.
Yeah, I'm very passionate about issues that concern women. So it is a great pleasure to be here today, to be actually talking to you and to just inspire and motivate African women.
Fantastic. And we're going to definitely dig deeper into it. Starting off, as a magazine editor, you've obviously got numerous responsibilities. One, in terms of curating content to make sure that you've got an appetite and retain readership. But secondly, at the end of the day, it is a business. So it's how you drive in those commercial revenues and deliver on your figures. What would you say has been your greatest challenge in the role?
I think my greatest challenge in this role is the migration of readers from print to online and losing some readers along the way. I think that is the greatest challenge that a lot of print media is facing currently. But with my attitude towards media, I'm able to actually investigate our readers' needs and cater for those, and also, you know, maneuver and find ways in which to entice our readers to our brand. You know, I always say that I see MOVE not just as a magazine anymore, as a brand with many legs to it.
It's multidimensional. You've got numerous platforms, whether it's in the mobile space, the web space, the print space, but as a brand, it's accessible for all.
It's accessible. And we go around South Africa doing events where I host these events where we motivate South African women and we inspire them. And, you know, I get to actually let these women know who I am, what I do, the kind of challenges that I face, you know, so that they can understand that even though I'm an editor, I do face challenges like them.
And I think that's important on understanding the human factor that goes behind the brand and the publishing, that it's not just a cold-faced company, that there is heart and soul at its root.
And that is why I have weekly chats with our readers on Facebook, you know, just to say I'm just not an editor. I'm actually human. Let's chat. What concerns you about the country, your country, the economy, social issues? Let's just have a chat. It's very important for me to be very humane about it, you know.
And do you think being weekly and having that dialogue, you've got a much quicker turnaround to be able to really engage with people, that they're not having to wait, if you were, for instance, a monthly, 4 weeks later for a response?
You see, that's where online media is a blessing, because then you can actually have this dialogue with readers throughout the week until the magazine comes out. So I always say the different platforms are not competition, but they actually have to complement each other and work together in strengthening this brand.
I think those are very apt words. What would you say are your next set of milestones that you want to achieve in your capacity as editor?
I think the most important thing is not just growing readers, you know, it's growing the community, the MOVE community, because we understand that the times that we're going through now are very different. Online media is dominating. So it's just not to grow our readership, but to grow the community and to actually continue making the difference that I make and addressing the issues that women are very afraid of addressing, and actually saying to them, I'm here, I'm a friend, I'm a shoulder to cry on. I've been through some of these things. I've got the necessary means. I've got the experts, you know, to actually help you solve these problems. You don't have, sometimes you find that women don't actually have money to access these experts. But as a platform at MOVE, we make sure that we pay these experts to actually deliver great advice to our readers. And that's the one secret that has made MOVE work over the 11 years.
And it's wonderful that you've got this amplification component and the fact that, yes, there is competition between online and print, but when you post something online, it lives there in perpetuity, which can be a good thing and also a bad thing, but good from the point of view that expert dialogue, expert opinion is there. You just have to do a reference to look it up.
Exactly. It's there all the time when they want to access it. I mean, there are a lot of Wi-Fi hotspots around Africa. And if people need information, all they need to do is just log on. They don't have to wait for the next issue of MOVE to come out. We're constantly advising them. And that's been our greatest strength, that we're advising them, we're giving them expert advice that they need to hear and actually deliver it in their lives and actually practice it in their own lives. I mean, it's different kind of advice, from legal to health, sex, you know, it's a variety of issues, and we have the necessary means to deliver that content to them.
And are you finding that, given the online extensions of the brand, that you're seeing greater readership penetrating into the continent?
Yes.
As opposed to just South Africa?
Most definitely. I mean, when we put together an issue of MOVE, I always say is that we're not just putting it together for South Africa, we're putting it together for Namibia, Switzerland, a whole lot of African countries, because content is content and experiences are almost the same. I mean, our hearts get broken the same way, and healing, the different steps of healing are there on MOVE. So it really is exciting that when we put together an issue, it's just not for South Africa. And also, being online, we know definitely that we're not just reaching South Africa, but we're reaching other people in other countries. And that for me is amazing.
It's great measurability, and it's testament to your success on the journey of MOVE. Now, we've spoken a little bit about the present and the future. Can you share with us perhaps a few of the landmarks in your career on how you came to become editor of MOVE?
Okay, fantastic. I mean, it wasn't easy, I must say. After I graduated at the University of Joburg, I enrolled for a graduate program. You know, the thing is, sometimes you find that as women, we are so hungry for success that we don't want to start at the bottom. But I was realistic. I started at the bottom, and I enrolled in this graduate program. We got the necessary training before we're sent to the newsroom. And when I got to the newsroom, I made a decision that I was going to make it from day one. And how I was going to make it, I was not going to sleep my way to the top. Definitely not. I was going to work hard, and I was going to build my brand. I was going to, you know, cover niche. And yeah, after this graduate program, I went to newsroom, worked for the Herald in PE. For the first time, I had to leave home, you know, and I'm a last born at home. So it was a bit difficult leaving my mom, my sister, and my nephew to actually go down and work in a different province. And I worked in Port Elizabeth for a year before coming back to Johannesburg and worked for the Sowetan and the Sunday World. And when I saw an opportunity to actually apply for a job at City Press, I did. And I applied for a job at City Press as a lifestyle writer. And whenever the lifestyle editor wasn't around, I actually took the initiative to actually, you know, step in. I did not wait for somebody to actually, you know, come and actually ask for my stories. I actually took the initiative to actually edit the section, which worked in my great favor, because then I was able to apply for a job at MOVE as features editor. And after a year or so of being features editor at MOVE, I was promoted to deputy editor. And then, you know, I felt, actually when I joined MOVE, I was pregnant. And you would think that, you know, I was very scared because I discovered after I'd signed my contract that I'm pregnant, and I popped the then editor an email to say, I'm actually 2 months pregnant. I just discovered that I'm 2 months pregnant, but I'm really keen on joining your team. And Media 24, being the company that it is with, you know, great values, they were actually excited in having me at MOVE Magazine because of my experience and, you know, the target market, the issues that the target market faces. I resonate with those kind of issues. I understand the target market, having grown up in Soweto. And then after MOVE Magazine, I then joined Drum Magazine as assistant editor. And then I got a call at MOVE Magazine to come back, which I did. And before I know it, I was editor. It's been a long journey. It took about 10 years to get where I am today.
I'm really glad that you state that, but also the fact that success isn't overnight, that it takes hard work. You built your profile. You got your academic qualification. You attained experience working through the rungs to eventually achieve your highlight into the career and the role that you're currently in today. So congratulations.
Thank you. It really is an exciting position because I'm able to influence women and inspire, not just actually women, because I really do get mail from males asking for advice as well. I know that MOVE is positioned as a women's magazine, but we do have a male readership, and I'm happy that we do have a conversation with males as well about issues that affect women on a daily basis.
And that's something which I think is a gap in the market, and having the content point of view that it serves both genders to, I suppose, improve understanding of each other in society.
Definitely.
Today, we're talking to Ms. Nonzwakazi Kakete, who is the editor of MOVE Magazine. We would love to receive your comments on Twitter at Womanity Talk. In the previous segment, we spoke about Nonzwakazi's journey of success rising up through the ranks from attaining academic education, qualifications, moving into the editorial position at MOVE Magazine. We also spoke about the changes and transformation that have been taking place within the media environment and the need of building and establishing a MOVE community which stretches across its multiple platforms of content that consumers are able to engage with. Nonzwakazi, in 2015, GenderLinks did a study, and they were addressing women in the media, what the composition was between male counterparts, and almost the inflow of women going into managerial roles. And some of the stats, I think you'll appreciate, are quite shocking. When you see that the ratio of women to men studying in media is 64% to 36%, but despite this, when you look at women actually in the workplace, they identified that 40% of media employees were women and only 34% of media managers were women. And further to that, which I found even more shocking, was the fact that women's views and voices only accounted for 20% of news sources in the Southern African media, which is below the global average, which is already low of 24%. Due to MOVE being a magazine for women, do you think that it excludes you from those type of stats?
In all honesty, it doesn't exclude me because if women are affected, I'm affected. The reality is that women are much more intelligent and are hard workers and they're passionate, but it is just so difficult for women to actually make it. I still don't understand why in 2017 you have to work 10 times harder as a man to just prove that you've got the necessary skill and understanding. I really think it is unfair. It is really, really unfair. And it's sad that these are issues that our mothers faced in the past, and we are also fighting the same battle. And I shudder to think what our daughters have to go through, you know, just to prove themselves. And, you know, with this young generation, they are more after shortcuts in life, and they're not as patient as we are. So it really is a big concern for me.
And do you think one of the components I believe in, if we've had a wave of mothers who've been hardworking, who've demonstrated the route of education, they in turn have influenced their daughters are succeeding, that we're going to ramp up the effects so that we hopefully lessen the severity of inequality and create more opportunities for women and for men to identify and recognize what women are capable of from a competence perspective?
You know, a lot of companies say they are for women empowerment, and they want to increase their BEE scores. So half the time what I've realized is that it is just public relations, and it's not actually happening. But the company I work for, Media 24, we've made strides. I mean, our CEO is a female, which is fantastic, and she is amazing. She has implemented strategies to actually grow a media in these trying times. So I'd say that as women, we need to actually, I know, fight harder, but it's not easy. But we need to be vocal as well. And we also need to actually be able to negotiate our contracts, because males still earn a lot of money than we do for the same position, which is really unfair. It really is unfair. And you find that the woman is 10 times more effective than a male in that position, but the male gets paid more. So we need to be able to actually not be shy to negotiate our contracts and say, I mean, I'm offering you a skill in return, so this is what I am worth, not this is what I think I am worth, this is what I am worth.
The challenges, when global stats indicate that women are earning 23% less than their male counterparts. But the more pressing reality for me is that when a woman starts her career, if she comes off of a low base, it's going to be exceptionally difficult to get back on par. So almost the negotiation skills have got to be a priority on day one.
I think these are courses that should be tackled at university, because I sometimes think that at university, yes, we learn so much, we gain so much knowledge, but we're not given the practical skills. So things like your negotiation skills, what happens when you go to a job interview, you know, and how to get what you want. And also reading advice pieces on Move magazine, we cater for those kind of situations to say how to ask for a raise, how to negotiate your contract. It's very important. And women must stop underselling themselves. We are intelligent. We are passionate about what we do. And we are effective. Actually, there are results when we touch something. And therefore, I really think that when a woman goes to an interview, they must be able to market themselves and equate that to a currency, because as women, we are also breadwinners, you know. That's the reality, especially here in South Africa. You find a lot of women raising children on their own. I'm personally I'm a single mother, and I'm raising two kids on my own. So it is important that when I negotiated my contract, I actually look at my life as a whole and equate that to rent, because I also wanted to give my children the kind of education that my parents gave me.
All incredibly vital points, and I think, again, proving the testament and the value of Move, if these are the type of articles and information that is being disseminated. You mentioned earlier Media 24 as being the mother company, the umbrella which houses Move. Can you share with us any of the policies concerning gender equality across the group?
Media 24 is for empowering women, and they have courses and training where they actually take women to empower them into leadership roles. I was actually on one of their programs, which was done through the University of Cape Town called APEX. I actually graduated in December. And it was just strengthening my leadership skills and my managerial and my management skills as well. So the priority was given to black females, because that's usually a group that's discriminated against. And it shows that as a company, they do prioritize women in leadership roles. And if you can see at one of our conferences in July, the room is absolutely beautiful with a lot of females in management. So I can say that, I can delightfully say that Media 24 is taking this seriously. And as I mentioned earlier, our CEO is female and she's passionate about these issues. So we are seeing action being taken.
And I think that speaks to the fact of having female leadership, someone who knows the trials and tribulations that women have walked, her responsibility towards not just her organization and her female employees, but also in terms of shifting the dial and having that societal contribution too.
Yeah, definitely.
You've mentioned you're a single mom. You've mentioned the hard work that's gone into your focus. I wondered if you could share with us what your winning formula is in terms of being able to accommodate both your demanding role in your career and balancing family life.
In reality, it's all thanks to God. I don't think I'd be able to do it, you know. It's not easy balancing my professional life and my personal life, because I travel a lot as well, and it sometimes gets spread across weekends. But when I signed the contract, I dedicated myself to doing this. So what is important is that my kids, I have a conversation with my kids all the time that I need to work, I need to make a difference, not just in their lives, but in the lives of other South Africans and Africans as well. So I actually do dedicate time to my kids and to my work and balance it. Weekends, I don't normally touch work, but unless I'm traveling, I actually entertain my kids, to go out for entertainment, and I become a mother, I cook, I nurture them. So the most important thing is having a conversation with your kids and making them understand, and also being open and you know, just make them understand that you need to work twice as more because you're a single parent. They need to go to good schools and get a good education. They need to eat. They need to get clothes, you know, the work. So I'm very open about it. But I also understand that it is important to take care of me in order to execute my role. And that is why every day after work, I actually go to gym, because I need to be healthy in my body, mind, and soul in order to actually execute my role as a mother and as an editor. It's not easy at all. It is never easy, but the fact that I have a wonderful helper also helps, because then she is able to take care of my kids while I execute my role as editor.
Enabling environments and enablers are incredibly important. Also think with what you're talking about, the fact that you are socializing your children, this is the reality they're growing up in. This is the norm. They have a strong mother who is a professional, and that's their view of the world, the lens that you've created.
You know, it's so amazing that sometimes I'd come from work and I just say to my kids, oh, tomorrow I'm traveling. And they're like, oh, you're going to Cape Town, because that's where our head office is. So they know that all the time when I'm traveling, I'm going to Cape Town. And they understand. And we talk over the phone all the time. I guarantee them that no matter how hard I work, I'm always there for them, and they must always talk to me, not to strangers. I am the first point of call, so they need to actually be open so that I can also understand the kind of social issues that they face, you know. They may be young, but there are a lot of social issues that they face, and I don't want them to actually seek advice from a stranger, because a stranger's values might not be aligned to mine. So at the end of the day, I might be their mom, but most importantly, I'm their friend.
That seems to be the philosophy that you've adopted in all of your roles, on that contactability and reaching out to be able to relate and touch people. And one of the considerations that I've looked at is that in South Africa we've got an abundance of legislation to protect women's rights and help them get on with their lives. In your experiences, what would you say is missing? What would you say that we need more of to help and further women?
I think we need companies that not just understand your role as a woman in the workplace, but companies that understand you as a woman as a whole, that understand that you're a mother, you're a sister, you're a friend, you know, and there are many responsibilities that you have as a woman. And if we can get that understanding, it will be much better, because I find that males have it a bit easy. As mothers, we have to drop off kids at school, pick them up, you know, go home and cook, do homework. If companies can just be flexible around times, I know our company is very flexible around time, and they understand the dynamics of being a woman and a mother. If you know, most companies can cater for that flexibility, it would go a long way. And then also, and not just train women for just that. You know, I find that sometimes they are so caught up on just, you know, stats and just meeting targets. It must be actually, those stats and targets must be executed. And a woman on top must just not be a number. It mustn't be unusual that a woman is occupying a seat at the top. It must be something that is normal, that is not celebrated. Yes, it must be celebrated, but it mustn't be as if it's some kind of novelty.
You're 100% right, but I think the only way that we're going to get to that point is by looking at developing the gender ratio, looking at having quota systems in place to even the playing field. And once we've got that even playing field, then it becomes the norm. But whilst we're on that topic of, I suppose, equality and quotas, gender equality is increasingly becoming more and more of a global focus. And a while ago, when South Africa had put forward their gender empowerment and equality, but unfortunately it hasn't borne fruition as yet. But the aim was really about trying to get to that 50-50% of representation on equality, so that we have got equal pay, we have got equal rights, that a woman being at the top becomes the norm. What's your opinion of legislation?
I really think that for now it's still a numbers game and a PR statement because of pressure from different sectors of society. We need to see some form of execution. It's how many years into democracy now? Over 20 years. And yes, we are seeing a difference, but it's not what you would expect for a democratic society. We need more women in leadership roles. We need women trusted with leadership roles. And I think a first test to that would be for South Africa to actually have a female president. And I bet you the day we get a female president is the day that the service delivery protests will die, because of that nurturing trait of a woman, because a woman doesn't want to see another woman suffering, or other people actually, not just other women, other people and children suffering, they want to constantly improve not just their lives, but those of other people as well. So I think it is very important that we stop the public relations around it, and actually have execution. And, you know, people, the government must actually execute what they're saying, and not meet these quotas just for statistics. It's just not fair at all.
They have to be purposeful. And in your opinion on having a woman president, that would range on her attributes, particularly on empathy, her care for society, and thinking about the broader population and the needs of everyone, I suppose, in her constituency on a national level. Now, turning towards more of a personal perspective, the beginning of the conversation we spoke about your academics and the qualifications that you've attained and throughout your career, and obviously it's living proof of the positive benefit of education. Can you just expand on achieving your academic qualification, especially to young girls who are listening to us today, who may be at that crossroads in their life where they're at the point of, should I study? Should I take this job? And they're uncertain of the role of academics in their future.
I am living proof that education is a very, very important. Without the qualifications that I have, I promise you, I would be literally nothing. It is very important that young girls go out there and study and stop prioritizing things that they can do when they're much, much older. I mean, I had my first child at 26. And you find that in today's society, children are having children, you know, which is very depressing. And a child, yes, is a blessing, but a child can also be a setback in the sense that you have a child at an early age and now your studies have to come to a halt, which is sad. It is very important that as women, as young girls, they prioritize education and they seek the necessary advice about the careers that they can explore that were previously not explored by women. They need to actually also have a self-conversation and introspect that I need to come out of this poverty. And the only way to come out of this poverty is by actually empowering myself. And the only tool is actually educating yourself. I see a lot of women relying on men, and don't get me wrong, you know, it's kind of like you become dependent on a man, and which is not a great life at all, because you don't have your freedom to express yourself, to, you know, your movement is dictated by another person. You need to be liberal in how you view things, and education opens that door for you to be liberal, to be perceptive, and it empowers you. I mean, you can sit down at a restaurant and have lunch with six people, and trust you me, your most interesting conversations are going to come from the most educated people. They're not empty. They know about, they are clued up about general knowledge, about news, about what's happening around them. So it is very crucial that young girls go out there, empower themselves and get an education. I mean, I know sometimes that it's difficult with the fees must fall movement. School fees becomes a barrier sometimes, but I think living in a democratic society that we are now, you can actually maneuver that around that and get an education and pay for it later, you know. So there are doors to actually lead you to your success. For me, it's no-brainer. Education is crucial, and my kids even know it at home. I'm passionate about education because I feel that education opens a number of doors for you.
A very powerful message. And quite frankly, without education, you don't have choices.
You don't at all. You don't. You're limited. Even your thinking is limited. You're not open. You don't get the experiences that educated people get. So it's very important to go out there and get an education. I know some people might say that I make it sound easy, but my mom, for example, was a single mom as well, a nurse. And you know how little nurses get paid.
And the hours that they
and the hours they have to work. But my mom made sure that I go to a good private school and then go to a great university and get an education. So, you know, there are doors, there are bursaries. I mean, we write about those things in Move magazine. If you don't know where to go for a bursary or which doors to knock on, we are there as a platform to help you, direct you in the right direction.
Great community, great repository of knowledge. Nantukazi, we are unfortunately coming to the end of our show today. Can I please ask you, in closing the conversation, although you've already given a very powerful message about education, to share a message of inspiration which you'd like to pass on to young women listening to us on the continent?
Okay. I really am passionate about women and relationships because I know women invest their time in relationships. And one of the things that women tend to do is to actually stay even when things are not going well, and they just want to hang on. And sometimes the best thing that you can ever do for yourself is to walk away. I personally walked away from an abusive relationship, and that is why I'm a single mom. I had to make a choice. You know, some women would say, I'm staying in this relationship for the sake of the kids. There is nothing like that. You as the woman have the power to walk away and start again. So it's very important that if you are in an abusive relationship, you take your power back and you walk away.
Thank you for that strong message and the power and the self-determination that you have invested in yourself and sharing your personal message with us today. Much appreciated.
It is only a pleasure, and I hope that the message that I've imparted today will actually help women around Africa to take action and just not sit back and just introspect. But the most important thing is to take the knowledge and execute it, apply it in your own life. That is very important for me.
Thanks again. It's been wonderful having you on the show today.
Thank you.
You have been listening to Womanity, Woman in Unity on Channel Africa, the voice of the African Renaissance. And we have been talking to Ms. Nonsokazi Kakete, who is the editor of Move magazine.